How do you perceive the relation that can be made between anarchism and indigenous resistance?
Well, I think starting from the basis of solidarity, like understanding that we have a common opponent in the terms of the state. As indigenous people, their anti-colonial resistance is directed against the state, the settler state, the colonial state. And with the anarchism being against the state authority, I mean, I think that's like a logical basis for solidarity and unity. In terms of indigenous societies, I mean, they were fairly egalitarian, you know, and a lot of anti-authoritarian principles that are shared with the anarchist movement. So I think there's a strong basis for solidarity. And I think over the last maybe a couple decades, the anarchist movement, especially in Canada, the development of anti-colonial perspective, I think, has really helped. And, you know, I think the anarchist movement has been one of the more solid allies that indigenous peoples have had in terms of engaging in solidarity campaigns, support, and in resisting, you know, a lot of different things like the anti-Olympic movement we had here. I mean, that was one of the first times like a national across the country, like the slogan "No Olympics on Stolen Native Land" was really carried out. Anarchist groups across the country really helped facilitate that and helped to spread that message. So I think, you know, in terms of that kind of stuff, it's very important. You know, alliances are very important. Indigenous peoples are only like 5% of the population, so they need to find allies within the settler population in order to, you know, expand the struggle. And I think in terms of that, when you make those kinds of alliances in the settler population, you divide the settler population and you gain more alliances and more resources and that you take away from the settler society. So it's a strategic idea that should be pursued by indigenous peoples. I mean, one of the problems I see is the concept of white guilt. And I mean, in terms of the solidarity coming from that kind of place, I think it is weaker and it's vulnerable too, because as we saw during the G20, the infiltration of the anarchist groups at that time, I think a part of their strategy was exploiting white guilt. And so they were using undercover police who were people of color. And so that's probably an obstacle or a challenge that needs to be overcome.
Knowing and like perceiving the difference between indigenous people. If you work with indigenous people, you work with some people. You're not working with indigenous as a general concept.
Yeah, because the indigenous people are not a homogenous group. And because of colonialism, we have all kinds of divisions within indigenous communities. I mean, you have economic divisions that are through capitalism. You have class divisions now. So you have an Aboriginal business elite whose interests are not the same as the grassroots people, but are more connected to the capitalist ruling class. And then you also have other divisions. Some natives are like hardcore Christians now, or, you know, all these kinds of differences now. And then on the other hand, I think indigenous people need to see, like, the anarchist movement, for example, isn't a homogenous group either. So there's different elements of the anarchist movement that are, some may be more stronger allies to make within the anarchist movement. And so indigenous people also have to understand that the anarchist movement or any resistance movement that they're going to make allies with is not a homogenous group. And you're always going to be trying to make alliances with groups that you have more affinity with.
How did you make the relation as yourself as an anarchist and indigenous people in struggle?
As a child in that, I grew up on and off reserve in that, so I had that exposure and experience of that kind of lifestyle or whatever, but it wasn't until I was in my late teens that I became more politicized, and my politicization came through the hardcore punk exposure to anarchist ideas, and then I became active in the anarchist movement at the time. I mean, this was about 1987, I became active, and then it wasn't until 1990, the Oka crisis. That's when I became more aware of indigenous resistance and indigenous struggles, because Oka was like very inspiring and it showed the spirit of resistance of indigenous peoples. So after that, I began to look more at indigenous resistance and also my own indigenous roots, ancestry in that. So over the years, my politics are basically anti-colonial and anti-capitalist. It's the convergence of the two concepts of indigenous resistance and anarchist resistance.
And what do you think the anarchists can do best to support or be ally with indigenous people?
Well, I think, if you go back to the concept of solidarity, it's to understand that struggle against the colonialism and capitalism is bound up together with the indigenous resistance against colonialism and capitalism, and to act on that basis of solidarity, that it's not a charity work, it's not just support work, and to carry out the resistance against this capitalist colonial system based on that. But in terms of to identify indigenous struggles that are, you know, paramount and that are resisting colonialism and capitalism, and to find areas where that solidarity can manifest and where you not only create alliances, but where you can contribute to an overall resistance. Yeah.
To find what on the anarchism was the parts of the anarchist who are more sympathetic or who you can work more with.
Mm-hmm.
Can you more define?
Well, certainly the anarchist groups that have developed their anti-colonial analysis, that would be the kind of alliances you want to make within the anarchist movement, is those who've developed anti-colonial perspectives and engage in that kind of resistance. And the anarchist groups, largely based in the urban areas, can be very effective in, you know, not only gathering resources, but also like propaganda, like spreading information about different campaigns and struggles and that. But also, you know, a lot of indigenous people in the movement, I don't think their analysis is all that sharp. You know, it's not that developed, especially about movement, resistance movements. Some Native people have the attitude that all non-Native people are just here to be supporters in the struggle and are therefore sources of money and material items and stuff like that. But I think they need to develop the idea that there needs to be an anti-system resistance spread throughout the population. And that there are a lot of elements in the population that are looking to indigenous peoples for this resistance, like for inspiration or for models of resistance, you know, to show a path or whatever. So there's two different elements, two different aspects to it. And if indigenous peoples are just looking at non-native people as sources of money or material items, it's just going to create a situation of exploitation. And that's not a healthy relationship for solidarity. It's not solidarity at all, in fact. It's just exploitation. You even take it to the level, it's nothing but hustling. It's just a hustler attempt to get money. And so I think that's something that needs to be addressed. Because a resistance movement against the state needs to encompass as many parts of the population as possible. And in terms of like anarchist groups have a lot to offer in terms of they have a lot of experience in organizing this type of resistance, not only just organizing protests or information campaigns or whatever, but also the tactics of resistance, which have been developed over many decades that a lot of indigenous communities, they just do not have the experience in organizing. I mean, you look at some aspects of the anarchist or anti-capitalist resistance, like very, very large mobilizations of people, Quebec City 2001, the Toronto G20, these kinds of campaigns. I mean, you're talking about major logistical infrastructure that's established, you know, media, medical, housing, convergences, drawing in thousands of people to come to a location to carry out resistance. I mean, these are things indigenous people can learn a lot from, but some of them are just, they're arrogant. You know, they think their movement is the center of the world. And that's an attitude that needs to be overcome if the resistance is to spread and to be truly anti-colonial and anti-capitalist and involving as many parts of the settler population as possible.
I can't see the same thing for the anarchist or sometimes...
The anarchists, certainly, anarchist groups who are developing their anti-colonial resistance can learn a lot from indigenous peoples, but indigenous peoples have a lot of strength in terms of their community. They have stronger communities, they have stronger family networks, and these have always been the basis of indigenous resistance. Wherever it's occurring, it's from this strong community and family networks. And also, like, the level of resistance that Native people engage in when they do engage in resistance is at a much higher level for various reasons. Economic conditions, cultural and history, these kinds of things inform indigenous resistance, so that when they do fight, it's at a fairly higher level, as you can see at Oka or even Ipperwash or Gustavson Lake. And I don't just mean armed resistance, but just the fighting spirit, the spirit of resistance that indigenous people have. I know that's an inspiration to anarchist movements, but there's a lot to learn from it. And some anarchist groups, they need to like overcome this concept of nonviolence, pacifism, and that kind of stuff. Because when you look at people who are oppressed, colonized people, you know, that's not the only form of resistance they engage in, because they do have this warrior culture that's embedded into, you know, it's a part of who they are as people. So there's things to learn both ways. And both groups, indigenous and anarchist, have to learn from one another and see that their struggles are combined. That's what solidarity means, that you have a common enemy that you work together to fight against. It's not one group exploiting the other, or one group just being supporters of another. I mean, this was what the movements went through in the 60s and 70s. You know, the white movement was trying to, like, be supporters for, you know, let's say the Black Liberation Movement. The Black Liberation Movement wanted the white people to go out, organize their communities, get them into our resistance movements to fight the system. They're not a supporters or cheerleaders for resistance. They have to go and engage in that resistance as well. So there was a lot of discussion, you know, what is it, like four decades ago, about what does it mean to be an ally of oppressed, colonized peoples. And I think what they learned was, like, you need to fight the system and you need to organize your people, your communities, into that resistance.